Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 68 of Beyond Diet Podcast, your ultimate guide to health and fitness. Hi, my name is Dan Rodriguez, and joining me is Dr. Roxanne Edrington. How are you,
Roxanne? I'm doing well. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing fine. Should I call you Dr. E? Should I call you Roxanne? What do you want me to call you?
Half the people call me Dr. Roxanne. The other half call me Dr. E. So it is whatever is convenient, whatever you feel at the moment, Dan.
Okay. I like, you know, Dr. E has a good ring. I like that. It's cool. You know, for those of you who are listening for the first time, let me just give you the premise of the show. This podcast, first of all, is going to give you the truth to get you in the best shape ever. If you want to know everything you need to know to get in the best shape, to get healthy, without all the fluff, without all the crap that's out there, I'm telling you, this is the show for you. What makes this show different is that we have an expert on, and then you have a regular person, and that would be me. And I'll be asking the questions that you would probably ask if you were to encounter an expert. Now, Dr. E, let me just give you just a quick little background. She is a chiropractic doctor. She's a clinical nutritionist, a board certified naturopathic physician, and she's certified also in functional medicine and applied kinesiology. And I'm not even saying kinesiology correctly.
But, that's right.
Okay. And not only that, you're a bodybuilder. You've done some bodybuilding. You've done a triathlon. I mean, guys, listen to episode 46. You were on the show on episode 46, and you'll learn a heck of a lot from her about her. But she is more than qualified to be the expert on this show. So anyways, I thought maybe in this episode, we can talk about getting in shape for summer. Because I know as a normal person, when you think of spring, you know, I'm doing this from Michigan, and you're in Texas. and I gotta tell you, Michigan has had some awful weather. Actually, this week we had snow, for God's sakes. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Spring's not gonna come. That's how I feel.
Oh, but I'm sweating right here, sitting in my chair. It's like 80 degrees. I'm waiting for the AC to kick in higher. So, I wish I were you were, and you probably wish that you were right where I was. We could just switch. We'll pretend right now.
Yeah. You know what? It's always greener on the other side.
I know.
But I'll tell you what. I mean, when spring comes around, when there's that change of weather, you're thinking, okay, and maybe not so much for you, but you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, got to start wearing the revealing clothes, the things that I didn't do or did do in the winter is going to show very quickly. So the main thing is, oh man, I mean, what do I need to do to get in shape for summer? What are some of the steps? I mean, I'm sure you hear that a lot.
I do. And, you know, unfortunately, all of us, me included, I mean, we always feel when the summer comes, when we're not wearing, you know, long pants anymore, and we're not wearing long shirts or jackets, and we're going to have to start wearing short sleeves or no sleeves, and we're also wearing shorts. We kind of, the first pair of shorts we try to put on, or the first shirt we put on and look at our arms, we're going, oh my gosh, right. We're looking at our legs and we're thinking, man. So everyone, even, you know, people who are basically in a lot of people's eyes appear to be fit, every single one of us, me included, always when summer comes, you know, there's a little bit more pressure to have that summer body. That is for everyone. And I think probably one of the first steps that I tell everyone when they're really thinking, okay, what is the most important thing for me to do first? And when I'm starting to think about getting a summer body. And that is something that I know many people who've listened to this podcast already probably heard, but they just don't really let it sink in like it should. Mm-hmm. And that is, we have to be changing our daily meal plan from eating breakfast, lunch and dinner to eating, you know, 5 or 6 mini meals a day. Mm-hmm. I see many people where they go really wrong is they wake up late because it's cold or whatever reason. They skip breakfast. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of, you know, eat a little bit when they get to the office, and they eat a huge lunch because they're just starved.
Right.
And then that huge lunch kind of keeps them occupied, and they're not really hungry until they get home from work. And then again, they're starved. And when you eat like that, you're not going to lose weight.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Really, the premise is they need to get up and have breakfast. They need, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours later, they need to have a snack. They need to have lunch. They need to have a snack. And if they will do this, that's the first thing that speeds up your metabolism. Michael from the Institute of Eating Management probably says this best, that in the morning when you eat breakfast, it is like throwing a log on a fire, and the fire is burning hot and furious. And if you throw, you know, wood or fuel on that fire every 2.5 to 3 hours, mm-hmm. you will keep that fire burning hot and furious all throughout the day. If you choose not to throw any fuel on that fire or putting more wood on that fire after 4 or 5 hours, that fire pretty much is going to go down. And that's pretty much synonymous with how your metabolism works. If you just throw fuel on it every 2.5 to 3 hours, you'll keep that fire burning, which speeds up your metabolism. So probably the most important thing is for people to plan to have little mini meals throughout the day. And that's really not that hard. You can make a big breakfast, eat part of your breakfast, you know, in the morning, eat the other part mid-morning. You, whatever your lunch is, if you decide to get, you know, chicken and vegetables or fish and vegetables and some rice, you know, have enough to where you can eat part of it at lunch, the other part 2.5 hours later, and then dinner too. When you're making dinner, just make a little bit more, eat part of it at dinner, you know, eat your, for women, 4 ounces of meat, for a man, 6 ounces of meat, you know, at dinner, and then eat the, you know, the remaining of the food, you know, about 2.5 hours after dinner. But by eating mini meals all throughout the day, that is huge in speeding your metabolism up.
Yeah, I mean, that I absolutely agree. I think, honestly, the worst thing that you can do is after sleeping, you know, 6 to 8 hours. I mean, I don't know how much sleep you get, but I mean, that's a long time without your body getting any type of food. And to wake up in the morning and not eat, you're really setting things up in a very bad way. It's like,
right.
Yeah, it's like you said, the whole log thing. I mean,
you don't have a fire. I mean, your fire is basically just a bunch of coals that are kind of have a little bit of heat coming out of them, but there's no fire.
That's right. And you don't want to put like a bunch of log and just let it, you know, a bunch of wood, I'm sorry, and let it burn out and then try to start the fire again. And that's where you like, when you were describing at first not eating and then you're hungry for lunch, so you overeat for lunch, and then probably what happens is once you go through that large meal, you're probably going to crash around 3 o'clock and feel very tired from having all that food, and then your blood sugar and everything else is just off, and I mean, you're just going to be a wreck.
And that's true. And that's, and one, you brought something up very important that I wasn't going to really go into, but this is important. That is really the key to feeling good, having energy, and wanting to work out. And that is keeping your blood sugar optimal throughout the day. When your blood sugar is high and when your blood sugar is low, you're not going to feel good. You're going to feel tired. Your body feels inflamed because high blood sugar and low blood sugar causes inflammation. So if you wake up in the morning, you're not eating, your blood sugar's low, you're starting inflammation, you're already starting your day off bad. And then all of a sudden you eat a bunch of food, now your blood sugar's shooting up. And once it's high, that causes inflammation. And then you don't eat for a while, and then your blood sugar drops again. So you have these highs and lows, these ups and downs all day long, and you'll feel hammered. And when you get home from work, you're not going to want to go exercise if you haven't already. You're definitely not going to want to do chores around the house. Basically, what you're going to want to do is sit in front of the television or sit in front of the computer. Yeah. And basically, as we've talked before, that sitting like that is accelerating your aging, which puts us into another important component in trying to get ready for the summer, is that people need to try 5 days a week. It doesn't matter for someone who has never exercised or someone who exercises all the time. At least 5 days a week, people need to start a walking program. And if you do walk, you can jog or go to the gym and do cardio. But cardio is real important too. For those out there that do not exercise at all, they can start just walking 10 minutes. 5 days a week. And then after a while, if they're used to doing 10 minutes 5 days a week, then they can up it to doing, 15 minutes. Our goal is to do like 30 to 45 minutes. But if you can only do 5 or 7 minutes to start out or 10, that is a great way to start increasing your metabolism. But on top of that, this exercising, exercise is anti-aging. When you sit and you don't move, you accelerate your aging. You can see how gracefully people are going to age by, looking at their physique. The more muscle someone has, mm-hmm. the more graceful they're going to age. So exercise is huge. And if you can come home and sit and watch TV or sit in front of a computer 3 or 4 hours, you're too out of shape not to exercise. It is very hard for people who are in decent shape to just come home and lay around. Your body won't allow it. And if you can lay around all day, then really that should be a huge red flag that I need to start a walking program.
Well, the thing is, your body is really designed to move. I mean, believe it or not, I mean, I know that sometimes you don't really have a choice but to sit around most of the day, depending on your job. I mean, but the thing is, even when you're sedentary, you can be an active sedentary person. If you're sitting behind a desk all day, you can actually start, you can stand up or start, sometimes what I do is, like, if I'm sitting for a long time, I try to tighten my ab muscles as I'm talking on the phone, or I try to just kind of stay active, get up and walk. Get up and if I'm going to do something, put energy and determination behind it. Don't just move with a purpose. You know what
right.
I mean?
Exactly. And the other good thing for people to do, they have those pedometers, and it's a good goal to try to get to is 10,000 steps a day. And I tried that, and it happened to be a day that was my off day, and I didn't exercise, and I put a pedometer on thinking, and for people who know me, they know I don't sit very much, and I feel like I'm all over the place. I felt like I'm all over the place, so I was like, this is a piece of cake. I put that pedometer on. I'm doing my normal stuff. I did not go to the gym or run, so this is a day off, but I'm doing stuff in the office, and I feel like I'm always walking up and down the halls and checking people out and bringing people back. Well, do you know, I was like 4 o'clock, and I think I'd only done like 6,000 or I think it was 6,200 steps. So the rest of the day I had some conference calls and I was walking around just pacing back and forth because I was determined to get that on 10,000.
That's a great idea.
It gives you a purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
You can actually look at it and you can see how much you moved that day. And that's a great start.
And no cheating. You can't just take it and just start shaking it. You know what I mean?
Give it to your dog.
Right,
go on.
Right. So, no,
that is huge.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. You know what? I did that a long time ago. I don't know what the heck I did. I think I bought like a cheap one and it just quit working. And it's like, get a decent one, I guess.
Right. Exactly. And usually the good ones, they pretty much can tell if you're just, throwing it across the room or if you're actually walking, or even if you put it on your dog, they're going to know, okay, this is not a normal, cadence of a person. So most of the good ones are, but right. So to kind of sum it up, we kind of talked about the importance of keeping that fire going during the day. And then we also talked about, now we got to move.
Right.
There are people that are more advanced that actually go to the gym. They do, 45 minutes of cardio and then they lift weights. What I tell people also, if you're not a big, resistive training or if you don't like to use weights very much, it's very easy, like on Monday, to do, like 3 chest exercises and maybe 3 tricep exercises. And on Tuesday, do like 3 shoulder exercises. Take Wednesday off where you're only doing cardio. And then on Thursday, do a couple back and a couple bicep exercises. And then Friday, do legs. And then Saturday and Sunday, just don't do any weights, but you can like go for a walk or do some kind of cardio, whether it's something around your house.
How do you gauge, I guess if you're not doing anything and you start doing some of this stuff, you'll see some really big improvements. But I mean, how do you, for someone that's starting out or even someone that's been doing it for a while, how do you gauge the intensity? In other words, how do you know whether you're working out enough or doing too much when you're actually doing the actual movements? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Walking. I tell people when they're walking or when they're doing some kind of cardio, and that can even be, raking the leaves from your front yard, or in your case, maybe plowing snow or whatever y'all do with snow. I don't know, whatever it is. But I always say that if you're able to sing or to whistle during the exercise, you're definitely not going hard enough, because that's almost an impossibility. If you're getting your heart rate up to a pretty good, rate, you should not be able to whistle or sing a song. If you can't carry on a conversation, like you're just sucking wind so much and you're like going, ah, and someone's trying to talk to you and go, hold on, I'll tell you,
Right.
that means you're going too hard. So as with talking about cardio, you basically need to be able to carry on a conversation, and in your conversation, you might have some breathing. Obviously you're breathing, but you should definitely be able to carry on a conversation. You shouldn't be able to sing a song, and you shouldn't be like gasping for air. And that's for cardio. And on weight training, I would say if say on the different repetitions, if you have a weight and if you cannot do more than 8 reps, if you're stuck about at 8 reps, that's as many times as you can move that weight, then the weight's probably too heavy for you. On the other hand, if you can easily do 20,
Right.
then that weight is way too light. So a good you kind of want to keep your reps between, 12 to 15.
You
And
want
that's kind of the basis of how much weight you should be moving.
Now, I know that women, for the most part, they hate weights. I mean, for the most part. And you're a woman, and do you enjoy doing weights?
No, I don't even like exercising, if the truth be known. Oh, I shouldn't say that I'm on a podcast, but it's like brushing my teeth. Brushing your teeth is not a big deal. You brush your teeth, it becomes a habit. And I guess what motivates, because lately I've been really busy, so I have to get up early. It's like sometimes 4:30 or 5,
Yeah.
and sometimes I don't go to bed till midnight. So it's sometimes I'm just tired and I would
Yeah.
like to sleep. But I it's so funny. I'll hit snooze. I'm like, ugh, today can be my off day. And all of a sudden through my head goes, okay, so you want to just lay here and age? Is that what you want to do? Because you know what? You're in your 40s, and just go ahead and do that, because that's the number one sign by you wanting to sleep in that you're already getting old. So I have this fight with myself before I even get out of bed.
Right.
So so I get out and I go exercise. So it's not so much fun, but I'll tell you this, once I get in the gym, once you start moving your body, I promise you, if you do it the way we say, don't overdo it. You might start out with, one exercise for people who do not exercise at all, one exercise per like one chest exercise, maybe one tricep exercise just to start out. But I'm telling you, that movement, your muscles are gonna think it is awesome. It feels good. It feels good to get oxygen in with blood, and it also gets rid of debris and toxins. So you're basically your body craves it. It
Right.
craves the exercise. And so at first, yeah, you're probably not going to like it. And in fact, there's a lot of times people jump into an exercise program too hard,
Right.
and they actually feel like they have flu-like symptoms for 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If you feel bad like that, you're going too hard. You need to back off. You need to maybe just do a couple exercises. Don't do what your friend tells you or someone else in the gym. And even sometimes trainers can push you a little bit too hard. If you're feeling tired and you feel like you have the flu, you need to just back off a little bit and
Yeah.
not your and that's where people really not they don't like to exercise, because they try to do what their friend is doing and they get really, really sore and they don't feel good and it hurts. And that really wouldn't appeal to anyone to, okay, let's do it again the next day.
Oh yeah, I mean I remember years ago when I started, working out, when I didn't work out for a long time and I started, I mean, I remember my biceps being so sore that I couldn't put my my arms down. It was so so fun. I had to walk around with with my hands up, because every time I would extend my hands, put my hands down, I would be in such pain. I mean, I've been crippled from,
Oh.
doing squats and stuff
I
like that. It's
ex
ridiculous.
yeah, and women are a little bit different than men in the sense that, we do legs, and I've done it so much where I was so sore, and women tend to sit more than men, whether it's going to the restroom or whatever. And I remember thinking, I am not going to go. I'm going to sit here and hold it for the next 3 hours because I was dreading, you know, sitting down, whether it was at a chair, whether it was go to the restroom. It was killing me. And you know what? After that point, I said, I am never skipping my leg workouts again. I do not want to get to this point again.
Right.
I'm going to just always do something to make sure that my legs do not, I am never going to get like this again.
Right.
And the good news is it does go away.
It does.
So, but, you know, in reality, I know a lot of people enjoy exercising because they do it right. The people who do not enjoy exercising are people who are not, they're either doing the wrong exercises, jerking the weights around, either have it in their mind that they're, because I said 30 to 45 minutes and they start out doing 45 minutes because that's what I said. That was the upper, you know, end of what I said, and they feel miserable.
Right.
And that's not exercise should be. I actually love it because it's a cleansing too. You think about stuff, you resolve it. And here in Texas right now, you really sweat a whole bunch. And I mean, where you're drenched and it's so good. It's good that your brain, the endorphins,
mm-hmm.
I have turned a lot of patients around who have felt depressed. And if I can just get them out doing something, the endorphins are chemicals in your brain they're feel good chemicals. So people, you know, anyone out there that feels kind of sluggish and they feel fatigued and they feel like, well, I don't even want to exercise because the last thing I want is more resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would suggest to them that they power walk or walk kind of briskly just to get their blood going a little bit and increase their heart rate. Because truly, when you make endorphins, it's almost like an antidepressant. You just feel better. And that's probably one of the first things I do with, you know, depression. I'm not saying that for, you know, people that truly have chemical abnormalities or imbalances that walking, but it does help. Even with these chemical imbalances, walking still has helped people who, you know, maybe needed to go on some kind of medication and chose not to and actually threw themselves into exercise. All kinds of research showing that. So exercise is huge. And another important thing when we talk about mini meals is, which I'm sure you know, your listeners have heard many, many times, is the importance of eating low glycemic foods.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is everything that we eat breaks down into glucose, whether it's a piece of chicken, whether it's a piece of broccoli or a cookie or ice cream or carrots, whatever. Everything breaks down to glucose. It digests down. And I think one of the problems with people trying to get into the summer body mm-hmm. is that they focus on calories. They're like, okay, I'm going to eat 1,200 calories a day, and that's all I'm going to eat. But they're eating, you know, breads and crackers and those 100-calorie pack stuff. And,
right.
And they're eating all, you know. And my point to them is because I'm, I guess, an example of it. When I was young, I was overweight because I was sticking with eating 800 calories a day, and I was probably running 3 miles a day. So
wow.
In my mind, I felt like if my input is low and my output is high, I'll lose weight. And I didn't. In fact, I started putting on weight. So that's actually where I threw myself into knowing about nutrition and metabolism. And because my family history, they're obese and diabetic. So I probably was a size 11 jeans when I was 15. And now I think I'm a zero. I'm a zero or probably more a zero than a two, and I'm also 45 years old and I had, you know, these issues when I was 15. So I am probably, I'm much leaner. I'm in much better shape than I was at 15. And it was because of the principle that I focused on eating foods that were low glycemic, foods that dripped into my system. Cause when we eat all our food, you know, digest the glucose, and some foods really digest very quickly. They just dump glucose in the system. And other foods, when you eat them, they kind of trickle because they're harder to digest. And so if you're eating foods that are dumping in your system very quickly, the cells can only absorb a certain amount of glucose at a time, and then you have standing glucose. When you have standing glucose, your body tries to protect yourself because glucose, high glucose in the system is not good. It causes inflammation and damage to nerves and everything. So your body will grab that excess glucose and throw it into a storage place. The number one place it stores is in your midsection, also known as a spare tire.
Mm-hmm.
So even if people are only eating 100 calories, but if that food is breaking down to glucose very quickly, kind of like when it rains outside fast and furious, the ground can only absorb a certain amount of water and you have standing water,
mm-hmm.
your food can do the same thing. So if you're dumping that glucose in your system and you know you're starting to have a rise in your glucose, your body protects it, stores it. So you're becoming a fat depositing machine. And the food that I ate when I was 15 years old is at the time that Mikey cereal. It was Life. That's the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I would get little bitty little bitty Ziploc bags of it, and I would eat on that. Like every 2 hours, I would have a little Ziploc bag that made 800 calories, and I was eating that. So every time I ate, I was dumping glucose in my system. My cells would absorb what they could. I was storing the rest as fat.
Right.
And it was on and on. So really the better thing to do is what I have done now is I probably now eat 2,000 calories a day, and I basically focus on foods that drip into the system, because when they drip, as they're slowly digesting and dripping glucose in the system, the cells can absorb the glucose, perform different functions, come back, and it picks up the rest of the food that's dripping into the system. So that is a huge concept. We want to drip food in our system, not dump. Because if you're dumping, even if it's only 100 calories, you're a fat depositing machine. If you're dripping, you know, glucose in your system slowly, now you're a fat burning machine, because your body will use all that glucose that's dripping in, you know, as fuel. And yeah, that is a really important point of, you know, maintaining permanent weight loss and staying lean. Just because you get older, and I'm a perfect example of it, just because you're getting older does not mean that your metabolism has to slow down and you start putting on weight. That's not And I guess, too, a good rule of thumb, because people get confused with that concept, is I tell people that anything that you can put in a bowl, and if you can add water to it, if it gets soggy within 5 minutes, those are the things that as soon as it touches your mouth, it gets in your mouth and your saliva touches that food, those foods are going to dump glucose in your system. So that's kind of a thing, a mechanism that I use, a measure when I look at something. Okay, if I put this in a bowl and add water, is this going to get soggy in 5 minutes? Yeah, that bread's going to. I don't care if it's whole grain. I don't care if it's, you know, it's still going to get soggy. Now, whole grain bread is better than white bread. Absolutely. Right. So if you had to choose one, that's the better choice. But I just mean that is a good, because if you put an apple in water, in a bowl and add water, nothing's going to happen. Even if you put a corn tortilla in a bowl of water, nothing's going to happen. If you put rice in a bowl of water, it's going to stay rice within 5 minutes. So that's kind of a good measure of is this food going to dump in my system or is it going to drip?
Oh, that's a great analogy. I mean, no, I can visualize that, and that's a good test. That's a good test method. So yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and answer a couple of questions if you don't mind. Let's take a short break, and when we're back, we'll answer a couple of questions. Okay, we are back, and first of all, you know what? Someone did email us. I did the last episode with Michael Florida, and we talked about Crohn's disease, and he did mention something that was not necessarily true, and a listener did point this out, and I just want to clarify that. This email is from Lauren Gilbert, and she is from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Yeah. She's from Alberta, Canada. And what she was pointing out, she says, I just want to thank you so much for your podcast about Crohn's disease. I don't have this, but I know a few people who do. Let me go down the email. Hold on. It says, I hate to say this. Okay, this is where she says. She says, I hate to say this. As far as it goes with wheat not being grown in Canada because it's too cold, as mentioned in the broadcast, I laughed out loud at this because wheat is one of the main crops in several provinces, perhaps meaning the maritime provinces above and to the east of Maine. I think they grow a lot of potatoes and oats there. So basically, just to recap, this is what Michael said. Michael said that don't basically try to avoid oatmeal that's grown in the U.S. because we grow so much wheat in the U.S. that a lot of times there's some cross-pollination. So if you're allergic to wheat, try to avoid the U.S. Oatmeal, oats, okay? That's what he was saying. Rather, buy Canadian oats because they don't grow. He said they don't grow wheat in Canada. Well, obviously, they do grow wheat. The truth is they don't grow as much. So the likelihood of having that cross-contamination is less likely. So I'll correct that. And thank you so much, Lauren, for pointing that out. Okay, let's get to the question. This question is from Katie, and her subject is about sedentary job and nutrition, and she is from New York City. She says, I am an active 22-year-old college student, 5'11", around 145 pounds. On the weekends, I work as a receptionist at a busy nightlife establishment. Friday night, I work from 7 p.m. till 2 a.m. So she works really late hours. And Saturdays, I work from 12 p.m. to 3 a.m. Between Friday and Saturday, I get 4 hours of sleep due to the commute home in the wee hours of the morning. Sunday, I need to catch up on sleep and study for school, not leaving me any time for significant workout other than the walk to the laundromat up my block. My problem is I never know the right food to eat during my shifts. I'm sitting down for the entire duration of the shifts because the phones get very busy and I cannot leave my post. I do not have an official lunch break. So during the week, I do a lot of brisk, long walking as part of living in a metro area, and a 60-minute power yoga class two to four times a week. And she says, I am intelligent and mindful. I make intelligent and mindful nutritional choices, including mostly lean meats, loads of veggies, and whole foods. I'm going to go down. Hold on a second here. She says, I naturally get hungry during my shifts, and I need to stay awake and alert. Because of my high activity level during the week, should I not be worried about consuming calories, which I cannot burn off at the sedentary, sleep-robbing job? What foods could you recommend for someone in my position? Katie. So, I mean, basically, we've got a girl that's working nights. She sounds like she's a college student. She really can dedicate that much time to working out. What advice would you give her?
Well, I think one thing that she is doing right, and that is in her lunch hour, or she was saying during that lunchtime, she tries to go on brisk walks. And I think that's great. It would be better if she can like walk, jog. That would just help a little bit more. But one thing that is kind of easy and portable that you could just keep at your desk is I'll make chicken salad. You know, tuna fish is fine. Also, I'm just not a tuna fish person. But if I'm in a hurry, and because she's 22, it's also not very expensive, I will get like 4 big cans of chicken breast in a can. I dump them into a container. I'll chop up an apple, chop up celery, maybe some onion. And I will scramble about 6 or 8 egg whites. You know, they're scrambling, they're cooking while I'm doing this chopping. After I throw all this together, I will take those egg whites and I will mix it in with the chicken and the celery and the apple. And the reason for that is because egg whites are wet. I mean, they're pretty much wet when you scramble them, and it kind of acts like mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. It holds everything together, and plus it's protein. And then I'll get some dill weed seasoning, and I will put a lot of dill weed seasoning in it. And then I'm out the door. I have a big container of food. I have it's a real small cooler that will fit this in it. Every 2.5 hours, because sometimes I see people back to back to back from 8 to 5, I will open that. I will just shove down some food if I don't have time to eat. I mean, maybe 3 or 4 bites. Sometimes I can actually get a cup in, and then I close it up, and then I continue to work. Something like that might help, because it's a good protein source. It's not a lot of carbs. If she's not working out, I definitely would say do low carbs and do more meat and vegetables. If she on the weekend or somewhere makes a bunch of protein, whether it's chicken, whether it's boiled eggs, whatever, and make a lot of that along with some vegetables, throw that in a Tupperware thing, just have it right by your desk, you know, stick it under your chair, and every chance you get, like every no more than 2.5 hours, open it up, shovel food in. And if you're not eating a lot, you probably every 2 hours will have to open it up and shovel the food in. That's when I'm on the go, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, ground turkey breast meat. I will, you know, brown the ground turkey breast meat, and I'll get like some organic, like actually there's a company called Amy's. I'll get like their lentils. And throw it after I've made the ground turkey breast. It's Jennie-O ground turkey breast meat, and I throw in the lentils. Now I have like some meat and some lentils, and the same thing. I'll just eat on that throughout the day. But if you don't have time to eat, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to prepare. Because if you don't prepare, then just you're going to prepare to fail, because that's in your situation is real important.
Okay. Well, I guess that answers that. Why don't we go ahead and wrap up the show? If someone needs to get a hold of you, Dr. E, how do they do that? Why don't you give out your website or telephone number?
Right. Well, my website that they can contact me, also on my website, is just Dr. Edrington. So it's DrEdrington.com. And my email address, my personal email address where I will definitely get it is, it will come to me, not my staff, is Dr. Roxanne, which is DrRoxanne at AOL.com.
Awesome.
That's the best way to get a hold of me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. E, Dr. Roxanne Edrington, for joining us. I hope to have you back. And actually, you know what? We've talked about this and we've had kind of a tough time coordinating, but I'd like to get you and Michael on the show at once and kind of do kind of like a table talk type of stuff.
Absolutely.
I think that'd be fun. And absolutely. You know what, guys, if you are listening, which I hope you are, go ahead and go to iTunes and put in a review and rate the show if you haven't. You can be completely honest, but when you do put a ratings and a review, that helps with the ranking in iTunes. So if you can do that, that'd be great. If you have any questions that you want read on the show, you can go to beyonddietpodcast.com and fill out a ask a question form. And you can do that as well. There's also a voicemail number that you can check out there if you want to have your question or comment heard here on the show as well. So thank you so much, everyone. Join us next time, and take care.